We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
On today's episode of the Pride Podcast, we have our game plan episode for the Detroit Lions versus the Baltimore Ravens. We're going to talk about some keys on the offense and the keys on the defense that the Detroit Lions can attack this Baltimore Ravens. All in episode 195 of the Pride Podcast.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in! Jared Goff!
Carr, touchdown, yes! Detroit Lions! DJ Hawkins, yes! They did it! They tied it! They're an extra point away from winning this game! Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 195 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always. Full crew today. Malcolm, here. How you boys doing today?
I am doing great. Malcolm, how are you?
Woo! I'm doing good. I'm here,
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming. Tyler, how are you doing, bro?
I'm doing well. No, but honestly, I got a quick rant. Got to get off my chest very quickly. Not about the Lions. It's about this stupid-ass weather in Michigan. And if I sound bad, I don't sound like myself, it's because we have to compromise today and we have to record off my phone today because we lost internet in the Farmington Hills area. So no internet for me, which means no laptop for me, which means no microphone for me, which means we have to compromise to data and using an iPhone, and hopefully we don't cut out and we don't sound bad. So that's just my little rant. But other than that, doing fine.
I'll say this, when there's a will, there's a way, and you're making it happen. You're here. That's all that matters, man. That's all the listeners care about. They want Tyler. Tyler's here.
We try to deliver. So we're here. It's coming to a little cramped schedule because obviously the Monday night game, we had to delay the process of recording the postgame because obviously the game was played a whole day later. So this is our now third pod, 3 days in a row. So, we're getting the workload up. Regular season's here. Can't complain, right?
Woo!
Hey, man, I'm excited.
Let's do it. Yep. So obviously we're going to break down the Detroit Lions versus the Baltimore Ravens. That's going to be happening this Sunday at Ford Field. We're going to get into the injury reports and then the keys to the game for the offense and the defense, see what they could do to maybe, scrap away their first win. So before we get into that, let's talk about some trade rumors, which, this is not an off-season pod. This is week two. We're talking trades, talking legitimate trade rumors. And that's dealing with Jamie Collins, linebacker Jamie Collins, Detroit Lions. Obviously wasn't his greatest outing week one and week two, and according to Ian Rapoport from NFL Network, the Lions are shopping Jamie Collins for a potential trade. And something also, when we get into the injury report, Jamie Collins did not practice today. It was a walkthrough, so these were estimated what would happen during practice. Jamie Collins was a non-participant with no injuries, non-injury related. He was non-participant, so the Lions are actively shopping Jamie Collins, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Jamie Collins this week and just throughout the process, if he's going to even be a Detroit Lion this week. So let's talk about Jamie Collins. I'm going to start off with you, Pierre. You saw the report of Jamie Collins on the trade block. What was the initial reaction? Shocked, expected, or, you know, what were you thinking?
Guys, before that report came out, we were literally texting. We're like, man, we wouldn't be shocked if they trade his ass and Bill Belichick comes calling. We literally were like,
there's
we were texting
gift.
About
there's
that.
Of Bill Belichick and the binoculars.
Yeah. And another thing is, man, like, I didn't really have a chance to break down last week's game, what happened. When you were watching the game, he kind of looked lazy. He wasn't putting in the full effort, and he looked slow. He just wasn't, like, what we've seen from him. He's not the same player he was. I don't know if it's like he doesn't want to be on a rebuilding team, if he's just, like, regressed. But just get his ass out of here.
Damn,
Pierre.
Malcolm, do you have the same thoughts? Is it just get
Malcolm,
the fuck out of here, Jamie Collins?
What did Dan Campbell say? We don't want any turds here. And he looked like a turd on Sunday.
Is Jamie Collins a turd now, do you?
Called him a turd. Oh, man. Pierre is in savage mode today.
Malcolm, is Jamie Collins a turd to you?
I don't think he's a turd. That's tough. God damn, a turd? Yo, I don't know why, but like when I pictured that injury report, and like the reason for Jamie Collins said, you know, not practicing, it said packing. Yeah, I don't know why I pictured like, well, that would be crazy if that happened. Like, if this is packing. Like, we were like, oh shit, he's packing his shit.
Currently selling his house, real estate.
God damn. I mean, this is not a big shock. This is not a shock at all. I mean, we were talking about in the last pod how he did not perform well. And we were saying maybe he could be a position change. Maybe a position change will save him, you know. But they're not seeing it this way.
Get his ass out of here.
They definitely want to go younger. They want to go younger. They want to go faster. They want guys who could play sideline to sideline. Jamie Collins is not that guy. He's a big linebacker. He is a pencil head type linebacker, and that's why it's just not working out for him. And I do wish him the best. Hope he lands a job and can continue his career. But it just doesn't look like he's going to be in Detroit.
So he's a turd to Dan Campbell and
no.
Malcolm Hart.
No, I didn't say he's a turd.
I'm putting words in your mouth now.
No, like not literally, but Campbell said he doesn't want turds. He wants guys who give
it
all.
We know what you guys mean. We're not actually calling Jamie Collins a turd.
Yo, and one thing I do love about like this move is Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes are sending a message to the entire locker room. Doesn't matter who you are.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter how much we pay you. Doesn't matter if we restructure your contract. If you're playing like shit, you're out the door. And I love it.
And that's another thing. They restructured Jamie Collins' deal this offseason. And that wasn't Matt Patricia. That wasn't Bob Quinn. That was Brad Holmes. One of his first things he did when he came to Detroit, which isn't one of the first things he did, but one of the things he did in this offseason was restructure Jamie Collins' deal, you know, to make it more of a long-term deal so they could have more cap for this year. So I thought that was interesting. And, you know, to kind of see the Lions are giving up. I mean, I think it's fair to say they're giving up on Jamie Collins. You know, they don't see him as far as a long-term piece for sure, and they don't really even see him as a piece going forward for the next couple weeks. So, I mean, I think they're giving up on Jamie Collins. But kind of like what Pierre said, I do like that the front office the front office is honest that they could admit to their mistakes. If they think they made a mistake with restructuring Jamie Collins' deal, they're not going to just keep him on the roster and try to prove their case that he, you know, that we made the right decision. If he's not working out, we're just going to get his ass out of here. We're not going to play this out even more longer if we just don't think it's going to work out. It kind of does look like what Pierre said. Maybe it's a bought-in thing. Maybe he doesn't want to be here. I don't know what it was necessarily because Alex Anzalone didn't have a good performance on Monday night either. But with Alex Anzalone, that's something Campbell praised was that he was always around the ball. He was showing effort 100% of the game. He didn't say the same thing about Jamie Collins.
He didn't.
So, you know, I think you got to take it for what it is. You know, and Dan Campbell said, yeah, we're not putting up with this shit. If you're not bought in, fine. Go play for somewhere else. Or don't play at all. So, you know, he's sending a message that it's Derek Barnes time, and I'm excited. I'm excited to see 55. Number 55, Derek Barnes, around that field. Yes. If it comes to the cost of Jamie Collins, then it is what it is. But the Lions are going to have to figure out this linebacker, this inside linebacker position, because outside of Derek Barnes, after 2021, you don't have a linebacker under contract. Jalen Reeves may have been free agent. Alex Anzalone, free agent. Jamie Collins, his ass looks like his ass is grass right now.
He's and done. Then, he's yeah, done and in then Detroit.
As far as your practice squad, all you have is Tavante back there. So, you know, not really much.
I mean, so. I wouldn't. Don't you don't have to panic right now because there's a lot of time.
No, you don't panic. Because you have to figure it out.
I mean,
yeah, dude. Because you're looking at the situation. If Alex Anzalone works out and plays well, they could re-sign him. Or you know, if he doesn't work out, you could let him go and maybe get a free agent, a guy in free agency who is better to the system, or hell, draft a guy.
Yeah. No, I mean, with the Lions system, it's. You know, not very linebacker, inside linebacker heavy. Only played two inside linebackers. So if Derek Barnes could prove he could be one of those starters, it makes the situation so much easier because then you're only looking for one more inside linebacker. But as right now, you don't really have much as a long-term piece. We think Derek Barnes could be that guy, but he has to prove it, obviously.
Yeah, hopefully. Because if Derek Barnes plays well, I think Anzalone is going to make Anzalone look well as well. I think it's going to make the whole linebacking core look well if Anzalone could – I mean, if Derek Barnes could play well. But – just like Pierre said, I think this sends a message to the locker room. Like, a lot of guys should be, like, they should be kind of worried.
Yeah.
Trey Flowers, you're looking at this move, you're probably saying, oh, shit.
Flowers, yeah, no, fair. Flowers should be on his heels right now. Jamie's obviously on his heels right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if I could really call out anyone specific after that. But, like, it's just a message throughout the season. It's like, you got to show 100% effort throughout the game and it is what it is. I mean, I don't know if you remember, too. This was, I believe, an injury connected to it. But the last drive, Lions versus Niners, they played Derek Barnes and Alex Anzalone, and Jamie Collins wasn't out there. I believe that was due to an injury.
It was injury related.
But Derek Barnes was out there for that last drive.
Yeah, it was injury related.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm throwing it out there. Derek Barnes was out there over Jamie Collins.
And one thing, though, about restructuring his contract actually makes him easier to move. Because what they did is they took his base salary and compared it to a signing bonus, so get that money up front. So I'm going to go through something real fast. If they trade him this year, like right now, they save $4 million on the cap, but incur a $3.3 million dead cap. Next year, they save $10 million, but incur $3.3 dead cap. The following year, they save $2 million, but incur $1 million dead cap. And then the next following 2 years are just avoided years of $1 million dead cap. So, like, it's not really that bad when you look at it. It's pretty, like, you could deal with a $3 million, $3 million, and $1 million for the next 3 years after those $3 million. So it's easy to deal with a dead cap perspective. But whichever team takes him on, I believe he has $3.3 million left for this year as a base salary. So teams will have cap space or will have to make cap space to acquire him.
Okay.
You guys remember how the Texans kind of took on Roby's contract, his base salary, and they got a higher pick?
For the Saints, yeah, they got a third-round pick.
So the Lions, like, say, like, maybe the six teams are offering a six, but Lions take him salary, maybe they get a fifth or fourth out of it. I don't know. I don't think he's worth the third. He's just really old right now. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, the Lions are in a position, too. They do have cap right now. Obviously, they're going young right now, and they didn't invest anybody outside of Romeo Okwara in the offseason. So they have salary to play around with right now, and believe either next year or the year after that the Lions will have a bunch of cap space. So I mean, the Lions have some money to play around with if they want to eat some of Jamie's contract to get acquire a better draft pick or a better player, we'll say. They could do that potentially, so it's going to be interesting. It surely looks like Jamie Collins will be out the doors, and we're going to have an update on this once, you know, that transaction is made, if that's him being released or if that's him being traded to another team, the New England Patriots. So we'll see what ends up happening.
Other teams to watch? Broncos and Chiefs. They need linebackers.
Yeah. I think the Patriots makes
the Patriots make the most sense too, because he always, like, he failed in Cleveland. Belichick took him, did well that 1 year, then Detroit pays him that money, right?
Got his contract, yeah.
Failed in Detroit. He might now just go back to Cleveland, make whatever he could, and then retire a Patriot.
New England. But yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Pencilhead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He is there. He is there right now. Yup. He's there.
Pencilhead is there.
Does Matt Patricia still wear a pencil?
Yes.
That's the Joker. I didn't know that. So, all right.
I mean, I'm saying yes because he always has. So I don't see why he wouldn't this year.
Nah, maybe because it wasn't a good trend. In Detroit. Maybe he switches it up a little bit.
Don't do that, Pierre. And Pierre, I'm joking. Do that.
To be fair, Pierre did go backwards pencil. He didn't go front ways. If he had the sharp in the way up front, then you know we have concerns.
No, I don't want to do that.
Okay. Well, that was about Jamie Callen, so that's going to be interesting to follow throughout, I should say, the season. I don't know how long this is going to take, but I feel like this is going to come a lot faster, a lot sooner rather than later, this transaction with Jamie Callen. So, all right, let's get into the Baltimore Ravens. Let's talk about some injuries here. Let's talk about the Detroit Lions injuries. What's the injury report looking like on this Wednesday? Like I mentioned, it wasn't a full practice. It was a walkthrough, so these are estimated. But what was Wednesday's injury report looking like?
All right. So Jamie Collins with a turn. No, I'm kidding. Jamie Collins, non-injury related, no practice. Trey Flowers actually is dealing with two injuries, a shoulder and a knee injury, no practice. Tyrell Williams has already been ruled out with a concussion for the week. Michael Brocker, shoulder limited. Romeo Aquara, shoulder limited. Khalif Raymond, thigh limited. Kevin Strong, concussion limited. DeAndre Swift, groin limited. I'd say this with Brockers, Aquara, Raymond, Strong, and Swift. They had the same injuries, I believe, last week, and they all played. Strong didn't play, but the rules are with like concussion, if you have a limited practice and a full practice, you're cleared to play.
Yep.
So Strong is trending in the right way. And the other guys, Brockers, Aquara, Raymond, and Swift, they were all injured and they played. So I think the Lions are just being cautious with them.
Yeah. And with Dan Campbell this week, obviously with the Monday night game, it's a shorter week for the Lions. He said that it's going to be a little lighter this week, a little less physical practices this week, and more of, you know, just walkthroughs and et cetera. Thursday, I believe, when the time you guys are listening to this, that will be their first physical practice. And I don't know, I believe Friday will probably be another little light practice, not too physical, a little more walkthrough. And then Saturday, obviously, preparation, Sunday game day.
Yeah, last week they did practice on Wednesday, but they didn't have to release it to the media. So last week they had an extra day of practice. So that could be another reason why.
All right, let's get into this Baltimore Ravens injury report, and I thank their PR team for having a nice organized list. It's actually very artsy. You got the purple background, nice font. I like it. And it's in order. So I enjoyed the Baltimore Ravens injury report. This is our first time ever doing this. So shout out to the Baltimore Ravens PR team. And still, I already used one F-bomb, and Blue Wire only allows me to use three F-bombs per episode. So screw the Packers. I'll save my F-bomb for later. But, all right, the Baltimore Ravens injury report is looking like this. Safety, Deshaun Elliott is dealing with a concussion. He didn't participate on Wednesday. Outside linebacker, Justin Houston is resting. Yes, the same Justin Houston from the what team am I thinking about? Where is Justin Houston originally from?
The Chiefs and the Colts.
The Chiefs, yes. Yeah, I know the Colts last year, but I'm trying to think. Where was he originally, like, you know, known for? Yes, Chiefs, Justin Houston. Yeah. That was embarrassing. All right, he's resting. Tackle Rodney Stanley, I believe he missed last week. He's dealing with an ankle. He didn't participate. He's their starting left tackle. Alejandro Villanueva, the former Steelers tackle, left tackle, he was resting on Wednesday. He played left tackle last week versus the Chiefs, so he should be able to go. It's just going to be interesting if he's going to be playing the left or right side. Nose tackle Brandon Williams is dealing with a neck injury. He did not participate. Defensive end Derek Wolfe is dealing with hip and back. He didn't participate. Cornerback Tavon Young is dealing with a knee. He didn't participate. Wide receiver Hollywood Brown was limited with an ankle. And then cornerback Jimmy Smith is dealing also with an ankle. He was limited. And then also to mention, guys that are on IR for the Baltimore Ravens, they lost almost every single running back that they had in the preseason going into the year. Gus Edwards tears his ACL. Justice Hill tears his ACL or towards Achilles, and then J.K. Dobbins also tears his ACL. So right now their starting running backs are a guy that they expected going into the season to be their third or fourth guy. Tyson Williams is now their starter, and then they signed Latavius Murray and Devontae Freeman. We'll get more into that when we talk about their offense, but that's something also to mention. Then cornerback Marcus Peters also tore his ACL, one of their starting corners. So a lot of injuries for the Baltimore Ravens. And yeah, so their injury report didn't look too long, but they have a lot of guys on injury reserve right now.
Right.
All right. Let's get in to the Baltimore Ravens offense versus Detroit Lions defense here. Let's start off. You know, you got Lamar Jackson, who I still believe will never be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. how do you feel about this Baltimore Ravens offense versus Lions defense?
Man, Lamar Jackson scares me. Not just Lamar Jackson. They got Sammy Watkins, Marquise Brown. Those guys have speed on the outside. They have an elite tight end in Mark Andrews. His numbers haven't been like what you thought they would be this year, but I still think he's like an elite tight end. And their O-line is kind of like, so they have Alejandro Villanueva at left tackle, right?
That's if Stanley's out.
Yeah, he struggled at right tackle. I mean, when I mean struggle, this guy already has given up 10 pressures and allowed 2 sacks and has 2 penalties this year. And we're heading into week 3.
Yeah, so, he was bad versus the Raiders. Very bad.
Yeah, at left guard, they have Ben Powers, who I liked a couple years ago, out of Oklahoma. He's been okay. He's only allowed 2 pressures and has a sack and 1 penalty. At center, Bradley Bosman, he's actually balled out for them. No penalties, no sacks, or no pressures allowed.
Yeah.
At right guard, it's Kevin Zeiler, the former, I believe, Cleveland Brown, if I'm not mistaken.
Brown and New York Giant, yep.
Yeah, so he's okay. He's an okay guard, I guess you could say. He's better at pass blocking than run blocking. He's only allowed run pressure and has 2 penalties. And then at right tackle right now, like with Villanueva going back to left tackle, it's Patrick McCarty. He played in 82 snaps, and he's allowed 0 pressures, no sacks, no penalties. He's good in pass pro. Run block needs a little, but overall, he's like pretty solid for like a backup, for like a swing tackle, whatever you want to call it.
Something to also mention about this Baltimore Ravens offensive line, they had Tyree Phillips, I believe, was their starting left guard, and he got injured. It's either week 1 or week 2. I believe it was week 1, but I might be mistaken there. And he's on IR right now, too. So that steps in Ben Powers. He's now their left guard. And then, you know, it's going to be interesting because, yeah, you mentioned Alejandro Villanueva. He's always been a left tackle in his career when he was a Steeler. And he was a good left tackle for the Steelers. But when he moved to the right side versus the Raiders, he struggled badly. It was a tough adjustment for him. And if Ronnie Stanley plays this week, which we don't know, he was a non-participant on Wednesday. So we'll see what the injury report looks like throughout the week. But if he plays and Villanueva goes to that right side, that could maybe potentially be an advantage for the Lions if he's there.
It should be. I mean, the guy's allowed 10 pressures. So, like, Romeo Aquara, if he's on the right side, Romeo Aquara struggles, like, can't get pressure. That's a problem. But
that's a concern, yes.
Yeah.
Because Crosby was taking his lunch money on Monday.
Yes, he was. He destroyed him. Yeah. I believe he had 2 sacks that game.
He was impressed. I don't know what the exact numbers were, but I saw him in the backfield. Yeah. I felt like every time.
Man, I think those are 2 different pass rushers, if you ask me.
Yeah. Another
Crosby
thing.
And Romeo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Another thing, too, is the Ravens like to use a lot of tight ends. They got Andrews. They got Nick Boyle. I think he's hurt right now. I'm not sure. They got Josh Oliver, Eric Tomlinson. They use a lot of tight ends because they're more of a running team than a passing team. And also, Dan Campbell said they like to use a lot of eye candy, too. You know, the Niners did that and messed with the Lions a little. So the Lions have to be disciplined in their calves, disciplined with their eyes. And you got to watch with the read option with Lamar Jackson because if he goes, he's pretty much gone. The dude is lightning fast.
I think this is where it favors Derek Brown's being in the game plan this week.
I agree.
Having a guy who can go sideline to sideline at good speed is definitely more to an advantage to stop that than what you would have previously with Jamie Collins and Alex Anzalone. So I think with Derek Brown's playing this week, and you know, we don't know what the role is going to be exactly, but I'm expecting him to start, honestly, especially with this Jamie Collins rumors. I'm expecting Derek Brown to now start this week. And I think with that, I think they're giving themselves a better shot to stop Lamar Jackson, you know, running all over them, because Derek Barnes gives him a better shot at tackling with his speed and being able to catch up with him. Because Alex Anzalone, we mentioned that he was around the ball all game versus the Packers, but he just does not have that speed to keep up with those running backs or, you know, a guy like Lamar Jackson this week. Like, you can't rely on Alex Anzalone to be that guy. Like, yes, he was around the ball, but at the end of the day, you got to make the play too. And I think I feel more comfortable, which is crazy, with the rookie Derek Barnes in his first NFL career start potentially. So I like the chances of that rather than what it would be before with Jamie Collins or Alex Anzalone.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely It's definitely an upgrade to compared to what we had before. With if you had Jamie Collins and Alexander Loney out there, you're saying contain Lamar Jackson. That would have been bad.
Terrible.
That would have been awful. But I still think that the task you're going to ask for Derek Barnes to try to stop Lamar Jackson. Like, Lamar Jackson is not just a guy who's just, he's just fast. This guy's a freaking human Madden stick.
Human joystick.
He's a human joystick. Like,
Campbell said, he reminded him of Vic. Like, there's really no one like Lamar. Lamar's just different.
I'll say this, and, you know, I think Vic is faster than Lamar, but I think Lamar has more moves than Vic. Like, he can spin, he could juke, like, he jukes like a kick returner.
Yeah.
So it's
you see him in Madden, dude, it's freaking unfair.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is gonna be a tough task because they're really gonna have to try to contain this guy and keep him in the pocket and can't let him get out in space at all.
Yeah. Bro, and also, like, I know, like, he's not really, like, the best passer, and that's still developing part of his game, but when you have Sammy Watkins and Marquise Brown on the outside, your corners have to be alert, because those guys could take a top off the defense at any moment. They're fast.
They're good. The game
plan that's another concern for
they got to have a really good game plan on how to contain the wide receivers that they have and also contain Lamar Jackson. You know, keep him in the pocket. That'll be a good scenario for Detroit.
It's a lot easier said than done, obviously, with Lamar Jackson, keep him in the pocket and make him a passer, especially with this Lions pass rush not really being able to get home too often this year. Like, they're getting home in some plays, but not consistently. So it's going to be tough for the Lions to kind of keep Lamar in the pocket. And I feel like the Ravens could potentially dink and doink versus us. Like, actually, I wouldn't be shocked if they could do that because we obviously don't have a personnel at corner right now. We're potentially starting Bobby Price this Sunday.
Who actually played well in his limited snaps.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the last episode. I'm actually slowly becoming a Bobby Price fan just based on his performance last week.
When you think about it, 7 weeks switching from safety to corner and then coming out playing against Aaron Rodgers and playing, like, I don't want to say great, but played okay. Like, for him, that's good. Like, you could kind of, like, see what the Lions see in him.
Yeah, he's
improved a lot.
He's 6'3". He has the size. He has elite size. He has speed. You know, he has the speed. And he could tackle really well. I think that's a big plus from him playing safety. So, that's why, I mean, I'm giving him a shot. I hope he's a starter.
And the Lions are missing a good tackling corner, and, you know, I'll take shots on Okuda all day long, but that was something Okuda was really good at, was tackling. And
yeah,
that's something they, you know, they were missing, I feel like, a little bit, was a good tackling corner. So maybe Bobby Price could offer that.
AJ
Parker is he is a guy who we haven't even talked about much, but he's playing as an undrafted guy, man.
It's good really we're well. Not talking about him, because when you're not talking about corners, it's really a good thing.
Yeah.
And when you're watching TV and you don't hear a guy say, "Oh, AJ Park with a missed tackle," they went at AJ Park.
He made lots of good plays. He made lots of tackles for loss. You know, he's making good plays.
He doesn't look like an undrafted rookie to say that. He actually looks like he's in place, and it looks like we found the long term answer at nickel. He just needs to stay healthy, hopefully, and not playing.
Yeah, come on, man. Because, you know, we, for some reason, like, we'll find somebody good, and then that injury bug just happened. So hopefully that's not the case for him.
Amani Oruorie, he struggled this year.
So far, yeah, so far. And I take that as saying all the corners, I mean, except AJ Parker.
Hopefully, like, he improves. That's because maybe he's just learning a new scheme and it takes some time, you know? But we'll see.
I mean, last week, I think he was only targeted once out of the whole game. So that's, he gave up one catch, one target. That's what PFF said. Last week he did show some improvement. The first game it was really rough for him. Yeah. He gave up like five catches.
I'm still high on him. I just want to see him improve. Like, I'm so high on Amani.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, if he, if everything is, as far as the numbers is what they're saying is correct, and he gave up one catch, one target, one catch last week, then that's improvement from week one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still, if you're looking at, like, his overall PFF grade, because week one was so bad, I think he, like, it was in the 30s. It was, like, dead, like, it would last. It was bad. So, you know, hopefully he's improving. We'll see. We'll see how the season goes.
Also, I want to bring up one more thing. Ifeatu Melifanu, I thought he looked really good, even on that play where he got, I want to say beat, well, beat, I guess. He was still stride with the receiver. And a guy like, when you're stride with a guy like Davante Adams as a rookie, I think that's impressive.
Yeah, I'm talking about the one where the ball hit his head.
He heard it. He heard his
quad immediately. The one where he got beat on.
We got
basically Adams. Controlled by Rodgers. Like, you can't.
Yeah. He got beat by
that's
Adams.
That's what messed up his quad, I think.
He immediately, yeah. Like, when you watch that play, like, you see him. Like, as soon as Adams catches that ball, he grabs his quad, and he just rolls to the ground. So that's when he injured it. And
Bobby Price had a play like that, too. Even with the injury, yeah.
Bobby Price had a play like that as well. Bobby Price, there was a deep ball to MVS, and Bobby Price was stride for stride with him.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, wow, you know, Bobby Price, look at him, man. He's actually that can step it up, man.
Man, shout out to Coach AP.
Yeah, oh, man.
He got those boys working.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie, I was scared because I was like, there's no way that, you know, he was a safety coming into the camp.
Yeah.
He's a safety. And then for him to make the transition to the corner and for him to start right away, I was scared. I'm not gonna lie. But I'm intrigued.
And then they got, not as tough as a task as Davante Adams, but they got some guys in Baltimore where they could take the top out of these guys. With Hollywood Brown, who's having a really good start for these first 2 weeks. Sammy Watkins has, you know, always had a pretty reliable career. Never lived up to his draft stock, but, you know, he's just a reliable player. And then obviously Devin Duvernay, another guy with burners. He was that kid from Texas. I think you guys remember him from the draft.
Yeah, I think we all wanted him, didn't we?
We like.
I know
speed.
I wanted him.
Yeah,
I like the speed.
We like your speed.
For some reason, like, I'm high on every fast guy in the draft. Anybody that runs in the 4.3s, I'm like, I want him.
They
want him on the team.
They also have my great values, Jamar Chase, Tylan Wallace on this team. The good.
Oh yeah. I remember him. I remember you wanted him.
Yo, is he hurt? Isn't he hurt?
He is hurt. No. Bateman's
Rashad,
hurt. Bateman.
Think of Rashad Bateman.
Rashad
Bateman.
Oh
yeah, that's right. That's right.
Tylan Wallace was like a fourth or fifth round pick. He fell. But
he was a fourth round pick drafted at 132, and it seems like he hasn't played yet.
Yeah, no, I like Tylan Wallace. I think he could develop to be a solid pro. So we'll see. He's the great values, Jamar Chase.
Real quick, guys, what do you think will be the keys for the Lions in this game? How can they, as far as like the defense against the offense, what does the Lions have to do this game? That would be realistic. They could actually work, and they can actually.
Here's the thing. Lamar sometimes runs, I don't want to say carelessly, but sometimes like kind of like force him with some turnovers. He already has two picks on the year, right? Lamar has two picks on the year. Try to force turnovers on defense. I know that's asking for a lot because you don't have that many playmakers on the outside right now.
Detroit is asking for a whole lot for Detroit.
Well, it is because you're on your third corner, basically. Like your third, like you're down the depth chart. No, fourth probably. Yeah, fourth corner. But man, you got to do something. In order to win this game, you got to force turnovers. You're not going to stop the run completely because it's Lamar Jackson. He's just hard to stop. If you could force them in like third and long situations, we talked about that in the last show, force Lamar to throw, that's when he makes his mistakes.
Yeah. Before I get into your keys, I just have a trivia question for you because I think you probably have the answer to it because I was thinking about it just now and I have no clue. When was the last time the Lions had an interception?
Last time the Lions had an interception. So they didn't have one this week, obviously.
No, last week either.
They didn't have one week one. All right,
going back to last year, do you remember like when?
Let's go.
Was the last interception with Jeff Okuda? Please don't make that. Don't.
No, that was week three.
That Jeff. Yeah, no. Shit. Yeah. When was the last time we got one after that?
Okay. Hold up. 2020. We didn't do. I don't think we picked off Kirk anytime. And that week.
Oh
17,
no, we did.
Yeah.
Didn't we pick off what's his name? The guy from the Panthers.
Oh, PJ Walker. Yeah, AL got to pick that game.
Oh, okay.
That was middle of the season, yeah.
Okay. Well,
Was that the last interception?
Well, we'll just roll with that for now because I just can't remember Detroit getting a lot of interceptions like that.
Oh. They almost had an interception on Monday when they played
Tracy Walker
when Devontae came a corner.
So, I mean, as far as getting – I'm just going to say this real quick. As far as creating turnovers, the only thing I have faith in is generating a forced fumble.
Another thing is, I was about to bring that up, Lamar had 3 fumbles versus the Raiders and lost 2 of them.
Yeah. So if they could punch the ball out, I have more faith in the Lions punching the ball out and getting a fumble than getting into I just don't see it.
And he has 2 picks, and they were both against the 2 picks were against Kansas City, though that was both Tyrann Mathieu.
Malcolm, I am going to give you a lot of props. The last Lions interception was on P.J. Walker.
It was P.J. Walker?
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Old man still got his memory, man. I tell people be slipping on my memory. They're like, oh, yeah, you don't remember. Yeah, I do.
The Lions got 2 interceptions in that game. I believe it was one by Tracy and one by A.O. I'm going to check very quickly. A.O. and – oh, Desmond Trufant got a pick in this game.
Oh, wow. But what week was that?
Right before Thanksgiving. The Sunday before Thanksgiving.
What was that, week 11?
Someone. Dude, I don't even think we scored a point in that game.
We
didn't.
We lost 20-0.
Matt Patricia trying to run the fucking ball.
That just shows that it's been a while since we got an interception, guys. So that's why, as far as creating turnovers, it's tough, man. Because I don't know.
I mean, this is the quarterback that could throw interceptions, though. Like, he's proven he's not a good NFL passer. Like, or not an average passer, I'll say. Like, I don't think he's an average passer. I think he's below average a passer.
Because he's not a traditional drop back, throw the ball quarterback. He's not going to zip any balls in there. You know, that's not him. But if you're looking for some weird shit like jump passes,
he'll do it.
He'll do it.
Yeah.
He'll find guys open. He'll find guys wide open. So that's the shit that you're going to see this game. So
I just I don't know if the Lions have the personnel or like the pass rush to get home where they could make Lamar Jackson a pocket passer, you know?
Like, that's going to be tough. I mean, I don't know. Like,
I mean, what do you do on defense? Do you rush 3 and just send everyone back to coverage? Like, what do you do?
So, you know how the Lions played a lot of 2 high versus the Packers?
Yeah.
I think this game will be more focused on stacking the box versus playing 2 high.
And then you take if Hollywood be too deep, like you just let that
if
happen.
Hollywood be too deep, it's like, yeah, okay, it's like whatever he be you deep. Yeah, because
I agree.
Their offense is built around their run game versus Green Bay. I mean, you had Aaron Rodgers and he scares you, right? Even Aaron Jones scares you, but Aaron Rodgers scares you more. When you look at Lamar, like, I'm not a Lamar hater. I think he's a great player. I think he's a star, but I don't think he's the best passer.
Wait. Was that shots at Tyler? Did you call him a Lamar hater?
Yeah, that's fine.
I'll embrace it. I'm high on Lamar. I love the way he plays the game. It's just different. Like, we haven't seen something like that before, and he wins. He does win like that too. So
yeah, we have. We see Michael Vick.
When's the regular season?
Oh, you want to get into that now?
When it comes to playoff talk, all right, I'm not trying to offend the whole Baltimore Ravens fan base right now because I get people so mad when I talk about Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, you sure do. You about to get all these Ravens fans are about to jump us. They're going to jump us. They're going to catch you in the corner. They're going to catch me in the corner and catch Tyler up here in the corner.
It was just like when Pierre was talking shit about the Colts. Someone on the Colts defense last year, and he had the Colts fans attack last year.
Yeah, we don't want no beef. We don't want no drama.
So I don't know. I don't know what the Lions' realistic game plan is. I do like the idea is where you stack the box, and it's kind of pick your poison this week again. I hate to say it, but it's pick your poison. Do you want Hollywood to beat you deep, or do you want Lamar to run on you all day? Like, what's more realistic? I think Lamar running all day on you is more realistic than Hollywood taking the top off your defense. Yeah. So if he does it, you tip your hat and say, okay, you beat us. Like, we had nothing. We couldn't do anything about that. But if Lamar Jackson – if you could try to avoid Lamar Jackson running all day by stacking the box, I think that gives you a better shot on defense to get more stops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think they play a spy? They put like Barnes on the spy?
Or? Derek Barnes, 55.
You think they put him in a spy and then like contain the edges of Wild and then rush maybe 3?
Yeah, I think it's really realistic to put like everyone in coverage. Basically, just send three, send three, four,
send three. I think probably have two contain the edges, and then
I would.
Pierre doesn't like that word. Pierre,
I don't
like
think
that
you
word.
Rush three.
Pierre doesn't like that three. Word. Whatever. Wait, time out. Because when we were talking about rushing three, and Pierre, I'm not sure if you noticed, they did that a couple of times last week.
They did.
You didn't notice, did you?
What?
They did rush it a couple times.
They rushed you
a few times.
I did not notice, to be honest.
Hold up. We can't get, you know, throw the idea of rushing three because of how bad Matt Patricia was at doing it. How
consistent Patricia did it 25%.
It's because how consistent he did it. But, like, in the NFL, you rush three.
You're allowed to rush three a couple plays. It's whatever. But, yeah, that's like, what they did. If you do it 25% of the time like Patricia did, no, dude.
That's what I'm saying. No, we can't, like, I think people are just scared of rushing three now. Like every time they hear about rushing three, they're like, "Oh no, we can't do that."
Did you see his face? What you said? What did you say? Rush three.
Well, when you guys kept saying rushing three, I thought you guys were talking about like 10 players. Like, Pierre, yo, chill out. It's a player too. It's like whatever.
He's like,
they might do. No, they're gonna. They should definitely do it more than like a player two this game. I do think so. I think they should have a lot of.
Okay, but why would you rush three though? You're giving Lamar like
make him a passer.
No, if you rush three though, you're basically giving offensive linemen a straight shot as you're at your linebackers, basically, right? You want to stack the box. You don't want to rush three. You want to have eight or nine in the box.
Well,
six or seven in the box.
What I'm saying is that you're not gonna just line three guys up. That's dumb. You don't want to just line three guys up.
I'm trying to say you
line your normal guys up there. You line maybe, you know, your five linemen up there.
And then
what you're gonna do is you're gonna have your edge rushers in like a contain type thing. So if he rolls out, they shoot at him. You rush three. But you have your edge rusher just in the contain.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I thought you were saying rush three and drop two in coverage.
Contain.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. So if you contain the edges, so he doesn't like, you know, rush out, and then you rush, you know, you have the three rushers, and then you have your spy. Maybe that gives us probably the best shot.
Yeah.
On third and long, though, I'm not against just sending everyone in coverage and rushing three. On third and long, if you could force those situations.
On third and long, I'm going at the QB because they have, like, especially if Villanueva's on the right side or something, I'm just going to go at the quarterback. I think third and long, if you rush three, that's a little, that could bite you in the ass.
I'm not going to lie right now. How is Lamar Jackson under pressure? Because I haven't watched enough of him to see how he performed under pressure.
He gets out of it.
Go watch playoff games. No, that's the story right there.
So when they pressure him, is it a positive? Like,
or he escapes.
He's good at escaping pressure. Yeah, like a lot of his plays basically just happen like with him.
It's his offensive line collapsing and he just escapes. So and that's Lamar Jackson.
So the best move is not to blitz this guy. You don't want to send pressure at him then. That wouldn't be smart then, would it?
I mean, yeah, you could
mix
still,
it up.
Yeah, you should mix it up.
But you don't want to – it's not like consistently pressuring the guy. You're not running a Steve Spagnuolo defense where you're rushing zero or, you know, zero blitzes. Like, you're not doing that consistently versus Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but
okay. Spagnuolo did try to do that last Sunday too.
I would really still work. Do that though. I would still send stuff at him just to see how he reacts to it. Maybe discuss some coverages because again, he's still developing as a passer.
Yeah, I'm not as far as him passing the ball. I'm not worried about him throwing the ball like deep.
No,
I'm worried about somebody sitting in the zone, sitting in our soft zone, like Hollywood Brown, in the middle of the field. And making like maybe one guy miss and take it to the house.
Like Debo. Like that one.
Like exactly like what Debo did.
I can see that.
That's exactly what I can picture.
Yeah, so, Brown is a speedster.
Exactly. But as far as like you're saying, is Hollywood Brown going to like run like a deep post?
No, he's not going to throw like a 50-yard bomb like what Rodgers and Devontae did on Monday night. Like you're not going to get that.
I'm not worried
about that. I think you can get a forced interception if you let him do that.
Yeah, I'm not expecting that. But I'm expecting
Greg Roman's not going to even run that play. He knows.
I'm expecting one of these guys to sit in our zone, sit, and he's going to find them. He'll do one of them jump passes. You're going to find one of these guys, and then they're going to probably take it to the house.
Here's the thing, bro. I think this is a big game for the Lions safeties. They have to be dialed in because, like, Lamar, he's fast. If a safety misses a tackle, they're gone. And also in coverage, they have to make plays.
That's a tough task.
Tracy Walker.
I mean, Lamar Jackson
dropped makes everybody miss. The other day. Will Harris misses tackles sometimes. But these safeties have to be on their A game.
Will Harris misses tackles consistent. That's my biggest.
You know what I mean.
Guys, I would have to say this. He played. He played really well last week. I think
you
he
cannot
was
say he's
rated.
A good tackler. He's a terrible tackler.
I'm not
tackler.
Saying this. He didn't miss a tackle last week, and I think he was our highest rated defensive player last week.
I don't care. He's a terrible tackler.
he tackles too high, and I think that's something that he knows. He tackles way too high.
You can't do that versus Lamar Jackson. He'll literally break you if you do that.
Lamar Jackson makes everybody look silly.
I know, that's what I'm saying, but he'll make him look extra shitty. Will Harris will be a meme.
You can't take bad angles on Lamar because his speed will destroy you. You take a bad angle, he's gone. You have to be dialed in and disciplined. And
but like I said, well, Will Harris last week, I was really impressed. I was really impressed from what I seen from Will Harris. He played well.
Did you rewatch the game or something?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
and that's what I
from
did.
From the eye test, I don't know. I thought he was like, but
the only play that he like that you could say like it probably wasn't even on him because there was a play that one of the receivers caught the ball and he tripped over AO and like they both fell.
Yeah.
And then the receiver got a few yards, but he played well. I mean, he made tackles. He was in the pop. He was a key reason why that sack happened from Charles Harris.
The Charles Harris one, the third one, yeah.
He was a big reason of the sack.
Yeah, I saw that.
So he played well. So hopefully this can continue.
All right, maybe I was harsh on him last week. I don't know, but
his tackling scared him versus Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, the way he tackles, bro. Like I know he was getting the tackles, but he like Tyler said, he tackles high.
He does tackle high. Even last week, he still made the tackle, but you could just tell that he tackles high. Like,
yeah, it's not. It's like a weird tackling form.
It is, but hopefully they get it right. You know that they can fix it. Hopefully it could be fixed.
He was like close to get a face mask, but he didn't. You know which one I'm talking about? He literally tackled the dude like really high. It looked like it was almost about to be a face mask.
Last week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly
the way that Will tackles, it looks like he's going for like a piggyback ride almost. Like it looks like he's trying to get on the guy's shoulder. They're like, that's a perfect way to explain it.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's the best way to explain it for real.
It reminded me of D Virgin, like that one play versus the Patriots in the preseason. Like he was trying to like, get like a piggyback ride.
D Virgin, yeah, that's a name. That's a name for
him. Just got released by the Niners.
Yeah, he got released from their practice squad. So
It's going to be tough for everybody. I think our whole defense. You're saying we need to wrap up Lamar. He's a human joystick. He's going to make – we're going to see a lot this game. And I don't think when we see it, I don't think we should put blame on these guys because
it happens
to everybody.
I understand. He's going to make our linebacker. He's already bad versus, like, not Lamar Jackson. Like, now imagine Lamar Jackson with his tackling. That just sounds terrible.
That's why I said the safeties have to be dialed in this game because Lamar does sometimes make some errant throws and sometimes the way he runs with the ball, like, you know, he doesn't always like secure the ball. If you could punch it out or something,
you know what I mean? That shit out. We need to punch it out.
The Raiders did that. They had two fumbles on him.
Yep. And one was in a crucial time in overtime. And
yeah, well, he had three, but he recovered. They recovered one.
Yeah.
Loss.
So. Yeah, no, it's gonna be interesting. I'm excited to see 55 though. Derek Barnes, this is a good matchup. Like, it gives you a better chance, in my opinion.
I gotta be honest, bro. Like, I'm a Lions fan, but Lamar is entertaining to watch. So I think it's just gonna be an entertaining game.
I will be at Ford Field in that game, so I'll be booing Lamar pretty heavily. Oh my god, if the Lions steal this game versus Baltimore, Baltimore fans, you're never hearing that of me. You're never hearing that. You're never hearing that of me. If we win this game versus Lamar Jackson, you're never hearing that of me.
That's what's up. Yeah. You guys want to get into the offense?
Yeah, let's take a quick break. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about the Detroit Lions offense versus Baltimore defense. We'll be back.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we're back, guys. Let's talk about this Baltimore defense versus Lions offense. Kick it off to you, Pierre. What is something the Lions have to do on offense this week?
So their defense is kind of like ours. I'm just going to go with some quick players real fast. They run like two inside linebackers. They have like Tyus Bowser on the outside and Justin Madubuike, Brandon Williams, Calais Campbell, and Justin Houston. Obviously, Houston's also on the outside. The other three guys are their ends and their nose tackle. Brandon Williams has struggled this year, and he's dealing with injury, but he's like their snacks. He's their big fucker. He's 336 pounds. I think, like, if he plays, he could give us some issues inside. I know he struggled this year, but I still think he's good. Calais Campbell has played well this year. He has four pressures and has done great against the run. Justin Houston looks real good, too. He has four pressures and a sack. So their D-line could give us potentially some issues. But honestly, the way the Lions O-line has looked, I'm not really worried about that front. I don't know if I should or not. Their linebackers are not the best in coverage. Patrick Queen and who's the other guy right here? Malik Harrison, the kid out of Ohio State. I actually liked him a couple of years ago. Yeah, so their linebackers are not good in coverage. Again, Hockenson, like, Travis Kelce has had a big game. Darren Waller has a big game against them. And I'm expecting Hockenson to have a big game as well. Their safety is Chuck Clark and Deshaun Elliott. And Elliott could be out with a concussion, right?
Yep.
So I don't know who's his backup. Do you have his backup, Tyler?
His backup is Brandon Stevens.
Brandon Stevens. I don't know much about Brandon Stevens, but he's a backup for a reason, so... Yeah, they're hurting right now. And obviously, Marlon Humphrey's one of the best corners in football. But at corner, they have Jimmy Smith. He's dealing with an injury. Marcus Peters in IR. Right now, they're starting Anthony Everett. He's 5'11", but he ran a 4.36. He's been okay. He's been targeted 13 times, allowed 9 receptions, only allowing a passer rating of 55.9. So he's been okay for like a depth piece, you know, like a guy who could come in and start. Yeah, so I think the Lions, the goal should be coming into this game and passing the ball. Their linebackers are not good in coverage. The Lions' O-line is good. Their D-line doesn't really scare me. They don't really have a guy who could, like, fuck a game up. Like, they don't have a Bosa. They don't have a Za'Darius Smith. You know, like, they don't really have a guy who could mess up your game plan. And they've actually done well against the run. The Ravens have done well against the run. Malcolm, what were the numbers? You had them.
Believe they're second against stopping the run.
In the running game, I can tell you right now. I know in passing, their passing game is they're dead last. But in the running game, they are six in yards, total yards allowed. Only giving up 144 yards on the ground.
Well, there is one guy that sort of scares me, and he's a rookie. I don't know if you guys remember the kid. It was Jason Owe, but now he likes to be called by his first name, Odafe Owe. This kid is balling. He actually won AFC. I think he won AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
It's a beast, dude.
Yeah,
I
mean, so
I'm surprised, dude, because when he was a prospect, I did not expect him to emerge this early into the scene. I thought he would be more of a project where he kind of had Julian Aquara-esque, you know, skills where he has a bunch of talent. He's this big, speedy guy. He can get to the quarterback, but he doesn't really have much of a pass rush move yet. But whatever Baltimore has taught him so far in you know, the offseason and then going to the regular season, it's translating really quickly and a lot quicker than I think even the Baltimore Ravens front office could even imagine of how fast he is emerging to coming one of those, you know, legit pass rushers. And he's legit, man. He's legit. So congratulations to him, dude, because, you know, I didn't see this, at least not this early. Like, I thought he had the potential, obviously, because of, you know, the size and speed he has. But as far as being this developed as a pass rusher with the moves that he's already developed this early in his career, unbelievable, honestly. It is unbelievable.
Yeah, he has 7 pressures, a forced fumble, and a sack, according to PFF. So, I mean, this guy, you got to watch out for him. He's really athletic. I forgot his 40 time, but I remember he was really athletic coming out.
That's what made him a first-round pick, because if you're taking – if you were draft – okay, let's just go back to the draft, not what he's done so far in the Baltimore Ravens. But if you're going from what he was in Penn State, you were drafting him as far as just upside. It wasn't the production. I think he had 0 sacks last year for Penn State, if I'm not mistaken. He had a very bad –
looks like he ran off. He ran a 4.36.
Because he has the talent. He has the traits to be a great player, but he did not produce at Penn State last year. He had a very bad year, and it was going to make his stock fall, but I don't know what the fuck Penn State puts on. That's my second F-bomb, but I don't know what the hell Penn State puts in their water to make these guys. They have some special water where these guys just come athletes, man. Whatever they put in. I mean, they always have crazy combines. Crazy combines.
Saquon, Parsons,
Michael Parsons. Away. Yeah,
away. Shit. Probably missing other guys too. KJ Hamler is really fast.
They just develop these crazy athletes.
Yeah.
And so,
Freiermuth is a good athlete.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Tyler, you think it's the same thing as far as like the game plan would be to pass this game? You put the game on Jared Goff?
I am putting the game on Jared Goff, but not necessarily attack with your receivers. I'm saying more attack with your tight end. You have a weapon, TJ Hockenson, and they are utilizing Hockenson so far the first 2 games. I believe had 8 receptions week 1 and 8 receptions week 2 or something along those lines. So TJ Hockenson has to come a weapon this week because Peter mentioned they have a weakness at covering the tight ends. And, you know, I'm just going to give you a quick glance. And I think it is fair now to compare TJ Hockenson to these type of guys because the first 2 weeks the Baltimore Ravens played the Las Vegas Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs. So Darren Waller and Travis Kelce, so 2 top tight ends in the league. I think we could put TJ Hockenson in this conversation now. But what the Raiders did on Monday night versus the Ravens, they targeted Darren Waller 19 times. He ended up with 10 receptions, 105 yards, and a touchdown. And then on Sunday Night Football versus the Chiefs, they targeted Travis Kelce 8 times. He had 7 receptions for 109 yards and was averaging 15.6 and also had a touchdown this game. The Lions need to use TJ Hockenson as an asset. It's their biggest asset in this offense, in my opinion, outside of the offensive line. And they gotta attack him. I'm expecting 10-plus targets in this game for TJ Hockenson. I really am. So I'm really looking at TJ Hockenson as a mismatch for the Lions this week, especially when you don't have a great receiving core. Like, the Kansas City Chiefs have Tyreek Hill. They have Mecole Hardman. Like, they have other weapons, but they still made Travis Kelce the main source of offense. The Raiders, you know, it's kind of similar to the Lions' offense as far as a skill position wise. You know, not the greatest receivers, but you got a dog and tight end. And what the Raiders came into the game plan was, we're going to attack that dog with a tight end. And it worked for the most part. You know, they got their tight end going, and he was their biggest piece on offense. And You know, that's what really got the Raiders offense going, sustaining drives. And, you know, that's what helped them win the game ultimately, obviously with Derek Carr as well. So, you know, obviously the quarterback play of Jared Goff is not Patrick Mahomes. And it's Derek Carr, I think, is better than Jared Goff as well. So, you know, it's a tougher task to ask out of Goff, but I still think you got to use your tight end in this matchup.
Yeah. I mean, this is a copycat league. I mean, they didn't have an answer for it the last two games, and Detroit definitely is going to look at the situation and say, hey, they didn't have an answer for their tight end, so let's get T.J. Hockenson involved. And this is why, I mean, and it's going to show the difference between the staff this year and last year, because the staff last year was just so one-sided that they'll see a weakness, and they'll be like, I don't care what the weakness is. I'm just going to still do what the hell I do. We're going to play so cover one.
It was really annoying.
It was very annoying. But this staff, I think they're smart. There's a lot of smart guys here, and they see the numbers. They see the numbers, and I think they're going to T.J. Hockenson in for a big. If you have T.J. Hockenson in your fantasy lineup, definitely. I mean, you should be starting him. But
now he's locked anyways.
Locked.
Yeah.
For a big game, Sunday.
Another thing I want to bring up, and I think Campbell said it too, is they're going to find more ways to get Swift involved in the receiving game, and they have to. Like we mentioned, their safety is hurt, their linebackers aren't good in coverage. So if you could get your running back out in space too and let him do some work, I think that'll be good too for this game. The receivers, I stay away from Marlon Humphrey. I think he's one of the best corners in the league. Don't target Humphrey. Just stay away from him unless like he's flat out beat. But I'd go at Everett, right? He's not a starter.
Our guys have had a tough time creating separation so far this year, too. So, you know, I think Quintez Cephas has been a bright spot so far. But I feel like the big plays we've seen in the Lions offense outside of, like, tight ends and running backs, if it's coming from the receiving core, it's when the offensive line produces time for Jared Goff. And they've done that consistently this year. Even the Quintez Cephas big play on 3rd-and-1 with that 40-plus yard bomb, that play had to develop for a while. Like Kevin King was with Quintez Cephas, but it came to a certain point where the Lions offensive line was just manhandling that Green Bay Packers D line. And, you know, we always say it, corners can only cover for so long. Quintez Cephas makes a third move, you know, during that play and then gets the big play, obviously. So, you know, I think we're dealing with the better pass rush this week than last week. So I think we could maybe expect maybe not as much time for Jared Goff, but, you know, I don't know. This Lions offensive line's been really good, so you don't want to underestimate them either. Because this Ravens defensive line it's not great, but it's not terrible. I think it's right in the middle of the pack. If I had to grade them in the league.
And Tyler, another thing is, dude, is Tavon Young. He's our starting nickel, and he's been targeted 7 times, lost 6 receptions. His coverage grade from PFF is 32.2.
That's bad.
So he's another guy. If he's playing, go at him.
Who are you throwing in that nickel? Amon Ross St. Brown.
He needs to be a little more consistent too. He's been like he's shown flashes here and there, but he dropped a lot of passes.
He has to be more consistent.
He dropped two last week. He dropped one when Alexander, you know, Alexander was in coverage with him, and that ball would have had us. That was to end the first half. You know, when we kicked the field goal, but
yeah.
He threw the ball to him, and that play would have put us in first and goal.
That's when it went right through his hands, right?
That's the one that went right through his hands.
Yeah.
He got to come. He got to be more consistent, man, as far as catching these balls.
I like what I've seen, like, from Trinity Benson. Like, when he has the ball in his hand and his yak ability, like, he's kind of fast.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like
yeah.
I knew this was going to happen as far as the talent-wise. Like, we don't have a number one receiver, but we have some guys that could make plays. I think Trinity Benson is going to be one of those guys once he grabs the full playbook and he's, you know, there full time.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a bright spot for the team.
Khalif Raymond has also, like, he's actually been, like, okay. Yeah, he's been solid.
There's just been some times where Jared Goff just completely misses him. It's happened multiple times already, honestly.
Yeah. So. No, there has been. Jared Goff, like, he hesitates to throw the deep ball. You still saw it a little on Green Bay, but he did take a couple more shots, but you could tell he always looks deep, and if he thinks like a guy's not open, he's like, I'm not gonna throw it, I'll just check down. Like, you could see he looks deep right away.
It's trust.
Yeah. there's obviously there's not a lot of like chemistry with these wide receivers yet, and you could tell like he's not all the way there with Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's not all the way there with Trinity Benson and those other guys. So
I mean, he's giving them Amon-Ra St. Brown some chances. It's just he's dropping them.
Yeah.
You look like his main, like right now he's gaining that trust with Cephas, so that's a positive. Like, and
Hockenson is emerging to come one of those top tight ends in the league. Like he is actually legitimately coming a top five tight end in the league and could be top three very soon.
Let's give a slow clap for Pierre.
Why?
Because you called this, man. Remember we were like, fuck, we can't draft a tight end? And you're like, trust me, guys. He's going to end. Remember?
Yeah, he's different.
Yeah.
I never doubted Hockenson's like potential.
We just wanted Josh Allen.
I
love Josh Allen.
I've just never been a fan of taking tight ends at the top 10. And I still have that like vendetta against it, but I think we could admit that Hockenson is legit. So he worked out. And you know, would I have done it? No. But I'm not complaining because he's a beast. He's a baller.
He's your number one option, your passing offense, and might be your number one option going forward. He's a baller. He's a beast. And his blocking has improved a lot, which is impressive. If he could continue to improve his blocking and continue to improve his receiving a little, the sky's the limit for him. And when we said that when he was drafted, like this guy has like all pro potential. Like he's a special player.
Yeah. I guess I was so blinded because I was so angry about that the Jacksonville Jaguars stole Josh Allen from us.
Yeah.
That I just couldn't see it. I was just so angry.
He's been good too, though. I mean, not gonna lie.
Yeah, Josh Allen has been great.
He's a captain too for Jaguars.
Yeah, he's been great for Jacksonville. Yeah.
But I'm glad we have TJ, man. He's good. He's a good guy. Hopefully, we could keep him here for the long haul, and he's our tight end for the long haul.
Yeah. So I mean, as far as we're talking about, we got to get the tight end involved in this game. We got to get the passing game involved. I still don't think we should abandon the run game completely. I think this is still a game plan where you still have to try to keep them honest, and you can't just keep passing because you don't have that type of quarterback where you could pass 40 times a game and get away with it. Like you're just not going to win that way. So you got to give credit to your offensive line. They've made holes for your run game, and you just got to take it. You got to still try to pound it. Like I know the Ravens have been good against stopping the run. They did a good job versus the Raiders, but they haven't faced an offensive line like this yet. The Raiders' offensive line, bottom of the league. Chiefs, solid offensive line. They're newer. Obviously, a lot of new pieces there. And, you know, the Lions have new pieces on the offensive line as well. But I think the Lions have the most established offensive line they've played so far in these first three games as far as the Ravens. So you got to give credit to your offensive line. And they've made holes the first two games versus better fronts. You got to give them credit. And you have to have their trust. And you have to still run this ball versus the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, they just play the flow of the game. See how the flow of the game is going. If your running backs is averaging 2.1 yards per carry and you're like in the second, third quarter, it's not working out. you know? But if they're playing, they're getting good carries, you know, shoot, let it ride. I mean,
but you gotta balanced. Try it. You have to try it.
Yeah, you have to, because once the running game is going, even though like we didn't run the ball a ton last week, you just saw what the running game was doing.
Yeah.
Like it made Jared Goff was able to do a zone read because of our running game. And he ran for like what? He broke for like what? 20, 30 yards?
24 yards is longest run in his NFL career.
24 yards for Jared Goff?
You know, when I saw that play, that made me think like the Lions had to be looking for a mobile quarterback. Like if they want their next quarterback, like if you think about it too, I remember when Campbell said he wanted a mobile quarterback with a strong arm and accurate quarterback. Back when, like, they interviewed him, like, in the offseason.
True, Lance.
So, the way that when they did that, I was like, this is interesting. Like, if you like, think about 2 or 3 years from now, instead of Goff, there's that mobile quarterback. Or maybe it is Goff. Like, Goff works out, sure. But, like, if you envision, like, maybe, like, a Malik Willis or something, you know what I mean? Like, an athletic QB down there, that could be fun. It'd be interesting.
Yeah. Liberty quarterback. You're bringing Liberty quarterbacks into context.
I just like use it like as an
I'm
example.
Just saying. I'm just saying. Like, you know I mean? Like, we're getting Liberty quarterbacks in the pot. I like it.
But I mean, I think they did that play to show that he's more athletic than people thought he was.
No, that was, I mean, that play call was like, whoa, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Like, that was interesting.
Sure, he can move. He's not like you told Tom Brady to do that. Yeah, I think he'll make it to like, he'll make it to like 5 yards and then he'll probably just fall.
You know, but like,
how much money would have tripped himself if he made that play?
That's what I'm saying. You might trip off.
If they run that play again, you have to be like, oh, maybe Goff could keep it. Like, you kind of get the defense thinking, like, that's what I like. They put it on tape. It was a gutsy play call. I personally would have ran it.
I mean, you saw it because of the way they're running it in the inside so much that as soon as Goff, you know, faked the run to Swift, the whole defense just like collapsed in the middle of the field.
Right.
That's why he pulled in and just took off. There was nobody there.
Yeah.
But that's why you have to kind of stay somewhat balanced so to keep him honest.
Yeah.
Because everything opens up. Play action opens up. Shit like that opens up. Everything opens up.
So if you guys are running the ball, are you trying to run up these gaps with Brandon Williams? Or are you trying to run on these edges with Houston? And what's the plan?
I'm until it doesn't work, I'm continuing to do it. And that is running behind Frank Ragnow and Halapute Vatai.
Just run up those gaps.
I'm also running behind Penei Sewell because that guy just moves people.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you watched that. They didn't run much behind Penei Sewell.
Yeah, that was interesting. I don't know why they didn't do that. Maybe they were attacking their ends on the other side because they weren't as good as stopping
run. What they were doing is they literally was running behind Frank Ragnow and Halapute Vatai. Those two guys were creating the biggest.
Oh, yeah, they move people.
Yeah, they were creating these holes that you could drive an 18-wheeler through. Like, that was the size of the holes that they were creating. And, yeah, like, I'll continue that trend. I'll just say, you two motherfuckers, move these guys.
Hey, that's your first that's just continue to run. Go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, that's not a bad idea running behind those two. And Jonah Jackson, man, I've been impressed with him so far. Like, yeah, he's had some penalties and stuff. He's a young player, but the way he's been in the running game and the passing game has improved a lot more than last year.
Jonah was the perfect pick for a plug and play. He's just that perfect guy. Like, he's never going to be that guy. He's going to be the best guy in your offensive line, but he'll never be the worst guy in your offensive line. Perfect
plug and play.
Just a good overall player. He's like a Graham Glasgow, I would say. He was the perfect replacement for Glasgow.
Tyler, the Lions are actually really high on him. Like, Campbell is really high on him. I think they view him more as a Graham Glasgow. I think they think he could be, like, potential star. Like, they're really high on him.
Okay, I don't see that.
Are you giving a slow clap to Bobby?
Yeah, I will give a slow clap to Bobby. I like that 2019 class.
That was Tyler's boy coming out.
Screw the 2019 class. The 2020 class. I liked Bob Quinn's draft class, honestly.
Bobby. We call him Bobby.
I mean, obviously, Jeff Okuda is looking sus right now, but everything else, you know, DeAndre Swift.
That's not nice, Tyler.
Okay. DeAndre Swift, fine player.
Not nice.
Jalen Aquara could be a solid player. Jonah Jackson, slow clap, good player. Like, it was a solid draft class for Bob Quinn.
Stenberg is your top backup guard. Who's the other guy?
They took Stenberg, and then...
Oh, yeah.
We'll say take 2020.
Oh, Deshaun Cornell. I mean, look, he had a really good preseason.
Man, that was 7. Oh, and John Penasini.
Penasini, yeah, he's stuck around. So
Bobby did a good job then. That draft class.
Yeah, no, that was a class we liked a lot, and I thought
Bobby.
You know, we had Jordan Reed on too. That was a class he liked too.
Bobby.
So, you know. I don't forgive Bob Quinn for it. Still, screw Bob Quinn. He digged this franchise so deep into it. So we're not gonna. This is probably the only kudos you ever hear about Bob Quinn anytime soon. So
Bobby. All right, guys.
Bob Quinn got a couple of things right, but like Frank Ragnow, Hockenson, Swift, the guys we just mentioned. Other than
Bob
that,
Quinn
though,
Quinn was like an 80 to 20% ratio. 80% wrong. 20%
offensively,
right.
He was good. Defensively, he was awful. Bobby. Is that fair?
Offensive line, he was fine.
I mean, even at like offense, like Kenny Galladay worked out.
Yeah.
Who else did he draft?
All I know is that picture with him in the baseball bat pisses me off.
Carry on. I think Carry on is like the only one on offense that didn't really like hype regarding high picks. I didn't work out on offense.
Glasgow worked out for him.
I mean, you had Joe Dahl, who was a solid player.
Why did he have a baseball bat, though? Why?
I used to think that picture was so badass too at the time. I'm a baseball guy though. I like baseball.
Malcolm, let's be honest. Sick. If Bob Quinn was still like, if he was like a great GM right now, that pick would be like framed everywhere.
No, yeah. For sure. Come on, dude. Malcolm. You know you just hate the pick because you hate the guy. But yeah. The pick is badass. You can't.
If Matt Patricia was a badass coach, everyone would love the damn pencil.
We loved the pencil when we hired him.
No. You guys love the pencil. I think Tyler even had a shirt with the pencil.
I have three shirts. I had a custom pencil. I was bought in.
You had a custom. Oh, you did have a custom. You broke it. Didn't you break
it? I broke it. Yes, I broke it. But it's broke. It's in the garbage now. But I bought a custom pencil.
It's somewhere in the waste.
It's somewhere in the waste management now. I was wondering.
Think of my life.
Oh, shit.
But no, I was bought in. No, the pencil was sick. I was going to grow my beard. I was going to make my hair long. Backwards hat. No, I was bought in. So.
Child was Matt Patricia on Halloween.
Wow.
No, I was not him for Halloween. But
you were trying to be.
I mean, now it could be. I feel like he's fucking scary now. That was my third F-bomb, but he's scary now. So.
Oh, so, man. So, guys, are we doing predictions this episode? Or is this going to be Sunday. Next
one? No, so let's, from now on, we'll do predictions in our pregame show because we'll have a better idea of the injury report. We'll have a better idea of what's going on. And honestly, it's better. Like, we'll also have more time to think about it too.
Yeah.
At least see the inactives, and then we'll have a better idea. Yeah. All right. Cool.
All right, that's a wrap, right?
Yeah.
All right, guys, that is a wrap to this episode of the Baltimore Ravens pregame, and we will be live on Spotify Green Room on Sunday before the game, an hour before the game, and then right after the game. So predictions, if you guys are interested in predictions. That'll be on Sunday. So if you guys are interested live, you can hear that live. Or if you guys can't make it live, it'll be on our feed as well. So you guys could always rewatch that. So if you guys are interested in predictions and bold predictions, and records are not too hot right now. I'm at 0-2. You guys are at 1-1. So, Pierre, what? Just very interested. What's the spread at right now? I believe 8.5 when I last checked.
I saw it at 8 earlier, but it might have went up or might have went down. Let me see.
Our prediction will be on Sunday, so that's when it's.
So on ESPN, it's Baltimore -8, and the reason why our predictions are hard, guys, because we're doing our predictions right now based on the spread.
We are
not based on score. We're doing it based on the spread. So
if we were off score, I'm 2-0, but we're doing spreads, so I'm 0-2. So it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and it's more fun with the spread because it's harder.
No, yeah, for sure. Because I mean, like last year, it was just like, yeah, Titans, Packers, Bears.
Yeah, well, you make it harder on us. Yeah.
No, I like that there's a spread, and it can maybe help you guys win some money if we were good at this thing. But I'm 0-2, so I don't know how much I would trust my opinion.
I think I'm 1-1.
You're 1-1 right now. Yeah, you're 1-1.
This game is hard to pick. -8 is really tricky.
Yeah, so we'll see that. So stay tuned for Sunday. That's a good lead up to Sunday. So stay tuned for Sunday. And with that, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever. It's always very much appreciated. And I'm out, guys, and we'll see you Sunday. Peace.
All right, guys. Hope you all have a great week, and I'm out. Peace.
All right, y'all. It's your boy, Malcolm, and I am out. Peace.